Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
And this, MC, is the best animated shows ever. So far, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever. Eventually. I think it's the Vasquez Rocks beam behind me on my Zoom web call that is making me talk like Bill Shatner. I don't know. I still have the rocks up from when we talked about Star Trek. And for some reason, it's turning me into a bad Shatner impression. Anyway, MC, hi.
Hey.
How, let me ask a different question I don't normally ask. How's your week in cartoons been?
It depends. I've watched a few.
Uh-huh.
But I not as many as I used to. I feel like not just my cartoons, but my anime consumption has gone down a little bit.
Okay. Is that just changing with the weird times we live in right now?
Yeah. Oh, because I've just been watching a bunch of stuff.
It's weird. I normally read, and like I just can't read right now. I can't focus on a book. So instead, I started a new show, MC. I started watching a little show called Teen Titans, which I know you are a fan of, and yes. I don't think I had ever seen a single minute of before, but I knew that, like, there's Teen Titans, and then there's Teen Titans Go, and I've seen a fair amount of Teen Titans Go. I think I expected Teen Titans to be, like, much more serious, and it's not.
No,
it's like,
no.
It's almost exactly as goofy as Teen Titans Go, just with a less goofy character design to go with it.
I mean, there are some serious episodes in there, but
the characters are goofy. Yeah. Like, you need the Teen Titans when Beast Boy and Cyborg are arguing over who lost the remote control to the TV, while Starfire is looking in the fridge at moldy food. Like, that's how you are introduced to the Titans. It's ridiculous. Yes. I mean, they're the exact same characters as they are in Teen Titans Go. The background plot's a little more serious. I watched a couple episodes. Slade's in the background, being all mischievous, like, setting something up. I don't really know what's going on there, but it's good. Like, I'm into it. I totally want to watch more of Teen Titans. But it is weird to me how goofy it actually is.
Yeah, no. But it's also, like, fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the art style is very much like Batman or the other DC comic franchises around.
I feel like it is similar to Justice League, which was around the same time.
Yeah,
but it leans a little more towards an anime style than the Bruce Timm style, just a little bit, not too much. That's one thing. I'd heard this called the anime Teen Titans show before, and it's definitely not like full on anime style, but it's got a little bit of influence. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Darkwing Duck season 1 episode 3. Which is called Darkly Dawns the Duck. But first, MC, I wanted to mention the Darkwing Duck video games because we got to give them a shout out. Turns out there are two separate Darkwing Duck video games. There's the one we know, and then there's one for the TurboGrafx-16, which nobody knows about because it's for the TurboGrafx-16. And I gather it's just a beat 'em up and not great.
There is one person we know who would know about that.
Scoots probably played the Darkwing Duck game for the TurboGrafx-16. You're right.
He has but one. So,
for the most part, when people talk about Darkwing Duck in video games, they're talking about the NES game or its Game Boy port. Apparently, it has a Game Boy port that's like a pretty good port of the game.
Which is weird, but yeah. Because normally, those ports are terrible.
Right. But this isn't there. I feel like Game Boy ports are weird because... Yeah.
Mario Golf wasn't too bad.
Well, that's what I was going to say. When you get to the Game Boy Advance, the port is a totally different game. Because they're like, it's you know, this game came out on the Nintendo 64, the PlayStation, and the Game Boy Advance. And each of those would be like a totally unique game. Like,
yeah.
Because the PlayStation one would have way more sound files than the N64 could ever handle. And then like, you can't put an N64 game on the Game Boy Advance, so it'd be totally different. But... in the NES and Game Boy era, like the original Game Boy, I think it kind of works. Like, you can just, like, strip things down a bit and have the gameplay still be pretty much the same. But anyway, the Darkwing Duck game. Have you played it?
No.
Or just seen it?
I don't think it's, I have. I've seen it, for sure.
It's basically Mega Man, and it's pretty fun. It's hard. Like, it is a difficult game. I'm not good at it, but it's pretty fun. But I will tell you, while I was playing it, goofing off with it, just to kind of take a look, I had something magical happen to me, MC. So I'm playing Darkwing Duck. I'm going to jump up on a platform, and there's a guy below me, and I want to shoot down at him. So I jump and hold the down button and shoot. But it turns out Darkwing Duck can't shoot down. But do you know what happened when I jumped from that platform and held down and hit the shoot button?
What?
A bullet shot forward and flew through the air. And in a spot where nothing was, it collided with something and caused a little, like, word go with glowing lights coming off of it to show up. And I went, what? And I jumped through it, and it was a little, like, bonus game that you could play to get an extra life in the middle of the level. And it immediately made me be like, God damn, I love video games. And, like, that kind of shit doesn't happen anymore. But it was so exciting. And then, you know what? Stupid dumbass me played through the level the next time and forgot to go to the extra bonus level that was there. Like, because I just forgot about it. But it's, that used to be a thing in video games. You know, you play your Donkey Kong Countries, and, like, every 12 seconds in that game, you'd find some sort of a portal to a little mini game. And I just feel like it doesn't happen these days.
These days, you're more likely to go look it up online.
Well, that too.
And find all that stuff out.
That because too. Like, the sense of discovery was very good. Like, I mean, it's like, you know, finding the flute in Mario. Like, once you know it's there, you just know it's there. But if you found that on your own the first time, it'd be like, oh, wow, this is so cool.
But I think that's something like guides took away from us when we're playing video games. It's why like if I'm stuck on something, I might look it up on a guide. But for the most part, I don't reference them at all. And for the most part, I get through most video games without them.
I am squarely in the camp of I am playing this game to have fun. And the moment I'm stuck on something to the point where it stops being fun, I'm going to go look up what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. But I wait an extra 5 minutes after it's been fun to see if I can just work it out by myself.
I ain't got that kind of patience.
Oh, like today, just doing all the zip lines to like random glitches in Assassin's Creed Syndicate because that you got to use your zip line to get like half of them or something.
And there'll be a thing like floating randomly in the air, and in order to pick it up, you have to figure out like, okay, if I stand on this building and shoot a zip line to that building, then I will pass through that.
Yeah, and it's not knowing where to stand and just like trying to work that sort of stuff out, that's fun to me.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, when the discovery is part of the challenge, I think it's fun. But like, let me give you an example. I was playing Paper Mario the other day and couldn't figure out where to go to get to the next section. Like, I finished one chapter and I was supposed to start chapter two, and every goddamn toad in freaking Toad Village was like, oh, the forest, the forever forest, you gotta go through the and I was like, where the hell's the goddamn forest? Somebody tell me where the forest is. And it turns out that there was a path that I hadn't realized was a path. But I looked it up because I was just wandering around Toad Town going, where's the forest? Why won't anyone tell me where the forest is? And then I looked up at the guide, and the guide was like, if you go east, and I was like, oh, cool, there it is. That I literally just needed somebody to say the word east, and I could have figured it out. All right, should we do it? Should we finish our conversation about Darkwing Duck?
Yes.
Right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Evan, and I sure enjoy me some podcasts.
Wow, this podcast sure is enjoyable.
But sometimes life has a little bit more pegged on for you than what you thought.
Oh man, is that a missile? I'm okay.
ThoughtsCast, part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Podcast Network.
And And we're back.
MC, I downloaded an app that lets you start a stopwatch, and then you can hit the lap button every time you want to make a note of something, and it'll give you the time. And I downloaded it because what I want to do is when I say, I'm Troy, I'm going to hit the start button, and then I can make a note anytime I have to edit something so that later on it's really easy for me to find like where we go to our commercial breaks and if somebody says the F word or if we have to put in the Google song, all that kind of stuff. I keep forgetting to use it, though, so that's not very helpful. But anyway, we're here to talk about Darkwing Duck Season 1, Episode 3, Beauty and the Beat. That's right, this is Darkwing Duck Season 1, Episode 3, Beauty and the Beat, not VeggieTales Season 1, Episode 15, Beauty and the Beat, which is what you will find if you try to Google the name of this episode.
I have no idea what that other show is.
You don't know VeggieTales?
No.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
MC, VeggieTales is creepy Christian cult, like, indoctrination show for children where sad little vegetables tell you Bible tales.
Okay, yeah, that's probably why.
They sing songs, MC. They sing songs to you about how much you have to love Jesus or you will go to hell and so will your parents and your dog.
No.
I can't believe you don't know VeggieTales. That's shocking to me. Alright, so Darkwing Duck, Season 1, Episode 3, Beauty and the Beat, has a weird framing device. Because it's not just a Darkwing Duck adventure. It's Darkwing telling you about a Darkwing Duck adventure.
Yeah.
So, like, the start of it is he's like, "There's this town's got a million stories, and I know them all, and let me tell you one." And he opens up, like, a vault full of case files. And he's getting out an old case file. Which, like, I don't know. What do you think of this framing device? Did you like the idea that it's Darkwing telling you the story?
I mean, kind of. It's kind of weird also. Like, why is he telling us? Well, why aren't we getting this, like, as it happened? It's almost like a flashback to, like, before the series started.
That's what I thought. So, I thought that's what it was going to be. Like, here's an early adventure. Here's Darkwing Duck Year Zero, or something like that. Like, but Launchpad's there. So,
yeah,
it can't be before last episode, because Launchpad is there. And Launchpad wasn't there until last episode. So, I think it's just that they must have just been short on the script. They were like, oh, we need another minute and a half of something to put in this. I don't know, Darkwing's reading a book? And they're like, we can't just have Darkwing sitting there reading a book for a minute and a half. And he's like, Darkwing's reading a book to the audience? And they're like, well, that's getting warmer. Maybe we can do something with that. And he's like, ooh, Darkwing's reading a book that is the episode to the audience. And they were like, Dave, high five, Dave. And that's what they said. That's the framing device. There's one more thing I have to mention about the framing device, and this is jumping all the way to the end. No, we'll save it. Okay, we'll save it. We're not going to talk about the framing device until we get to the end. Let's talk about Dr. Reginald Bushroot.
Yep. He gets picked on by a couple of other big nerds, I guess, who are doing science in something else, and Dr.
Bushroot.
Bushroot.
Because MC, because he's going to become a plant villain. So yeah, his name is Bushroot. Because like a bush works, and also like roots.
His middle name is Stemleaf.
Stemleaf is his middle name. Dr. Reginald Stemleaf Bushroot.
Well, he's trying to work on putting chloroform into ducks so they don't have to eat anymore.
Yeah.
And more productive.
And the other scientists who pick on him, who, like, hey, jocks, you're scientists. You're not jocks. You're scientists. Stop picking on the scientists for being a scientist because you're scientists. But anyway, their thing is, like, they're like, who cares about making things efficient when we can inject a hamburger with this injection that makes it swell up really big? And so that's their whole thing, is like, more, make it more and bigger, don't worry about better, just make more.
And then there's a lady scientist who's like, hey, don't pick on Reginald.
Mm-hmm.
And then Reginald is not going to get funded, so he takes drastic measures and conducts an experiment on himself where he combines himself with a plant, and then he starts turning into a plant himself on the way back to the college to prove that his thing works.
Just like, he gets his funding cut immediately when the episode starts. And this is another thing where, okay, I'm going to talk about that framing device again, because Darkman's got a lot of details about the interiority of Bushroot. Like, like a lot of this episode is Bushroot having conversations with himself, and the framing device doesn't allow for that to be the case. Darkwing doesn't know what conversations he had with himself. Just like when we watched that episode of Rocket Power, where the framing device was that it was a video Twister made, and then it had stuff in the video that couldn't have possibly been filmed by Twister. Come on, framing device. If you're going to give me a framing device, you need to stick to it. But anyway, he does a Frankenstein thing where he's got like the plant on one slab and he's on the other, and they do the like raise up through a skylight and get struck by lightning. And there's a body, its name is Abby Normal, and then he says, walk this way, and they go, Brunhilde, and the horses go, that's
for those who can't follow. Yeah. I was about to be like, for those who aren't following, that's Young Frankenstein.
Can we just review Young Frankenstein? it surely has animated special effects. Okay, let's talk about his transformation, because Bushroot is like a little kind of stumpy balding duck scientist.
Yeah,
and the first thing that happens after he does his experiment, he's like, oh, it didn't work, and then he steps into the sunlight and is like, just has an orgasm right there on the quad.
Yeah,
because the sunlight feels
green.
So good. And then
his hand
turns green, and he's like, it's okay, I'm still old Reginald, I'm just a little green, I can deal with that. And then like his hair starts turning purple, and I don't know, he gets like stump
legs.
It
looks like a flower.
Mm.
When he gets back, the jock nerds start bullying him again, because now he's green and he has hair that's a flower and stick
and
legs.
Then they start screaming, Reggie's a veggie, Reggie's a veggie, which I don't know if they came up with that rhyme first or if they came up with the name Reginald Bushroot and then came up with Reggie's a veggie, but however it happened, that's very good, Darkwing Duck writers. Reggie's a veggie is like, you did a good job with that little taunt. I like it.
And then the lady scientist goes and gets Darkwing at some point, because Reginald goes a bit power mad when he realizes he can control plants.
Yeah, so the way he realizes this is great, because he's walking along the park, he's feeling dejected because the other scientists were mean to him, and then a dog starts sniffing at him, and he's like, holy shit, this dog's gonna pee on me. And he starts running away from the dog, and he's like, get away, help. And then a tree like steps up and scares the dog away, and he's like, oh, thanks tree. And then he's like, wait a second, you're a tree, why did you help me?
And then he's like, I need to sit down, and a flower pops out that's perfectly shaped like a chair. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, oh man, I could use some water. And then, does the tree get him water?
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe a flower does. Like,
yeah.
He has a lot of interactions with plants, and they're all pretty goofy, but it's cute, it's fun.
Yeah, and then he goes back to the college, and he, puts the bully nerds in vines, and they're all covered in leaves and stuff.
MC.
Yeah.
Those dudes are dead, right?
Oh.
Like,
I don't know. Probably. But
they're fully encased in plants. I'm pretty sure those plants are growing out of their skin, and they are dead men.
Yeah, and then Darkwing shows up at this point, and
yeah. The like dean or whoever brings him in to help investigate. And Launchpad's there with him, like we said. So
but,
I don't know when this happens, but Launchpad's there.
Then the plants start going after the dean or whoever cut the funding.
Yeah.
And Darkwing and Launchpad get tangled up into like the fight with the plants.
Mm-hmm. At one point, they're completely restrained, but Darkwing has buzzsaw cufflinks, which is the coolest, most Batman shit I've seen so far in this episode or in this show. He's got, like, his cufflinks are little tiny buzzsaws, so he can cut himself out of traps. Imagine if Luke Skywalker had those in Return of the Jedi. Then they could have escaped from that net trap before they met the Ewoks. But then that means, MC, that they wouldn't have had the Ewok support when they went to try and take down the shield generator, and they would have fallen into the Emperor's trap in doing so, which means that the Death Star's shields would have still been fully raised when the fleet arrived, and the fleet would have just destroyed themselves smashing against the shield, and the Emperor would have never died. That means Darth Vader would still be there. Luke Skywalker wouldn't have ended up going back up to the Death Star, which means that Darth Vader wouldn't have had the chance to reunite with his son, which means he wouldn't have gotten his redemption arc, which means he would still be evil, which means that he would then be the one who trained the Emperor's child in the sequel series. So then Rey would have been raised by Darth Vader instead of being dropped off on Jakku and forgotten about, which means that Darth Vader and Rey would have worked together to overthrow Sheev and to establish a new Sith Empire, and that would have been what the sequel series was about. So it's a good thing Luke Skywalker didn't have those buzzsaw cufflinks.
Would she still bone Ben Solo?
Ben Solo wouldn't... Wait, no, he wouldn't exist. He would have been deaded. He would have been deaded before he was born, because Han Solo and Leia would have walked right into the trap on the Endor moon. We wouldn't have Adam Driver if Luke Skywalker had buzzsaw cufflinks.
I'm fine with him not having these cufflinks. Because the buzzsaw cufflinks did help him escape after being restrained by a big tree, essentially. Mm-hmm. And all the leaves get cut off the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts running away.
Is this where she decides to go after him, right? The Lady Duck Doctor is like, I think there's still good in him. I'm gonna meet up with him and try and turn him back to the side of good. You get a nice scene of Bushroot getting ready for his date, where he's like having a shower from a flower petal dumping water on him, and then he's like, oh, should I wear a bow tie or grow my own? And then like a weed pops out in his head, and he's like, oh no, weed right before my big date. And just, look, plant humor. And when he meets up with her, and you're like, ah, look, they're just going to meet up together. And she's like, ah, Reggie, it'll never work between us, because I'm a duck and you're a tree. And he's like, don't worry, I'm going to turn you into a tree too. And he straps her to one of his big science operating tables and a daffodil. And he's going to turn her into a daffodil plant duck. And then at the last minute, Darkwing Duck and Launchpad swoop in to save the day and cue the big action scene where they've got to fight a whole bunch of plants.
Yep. There's a Venus flytrap looking plant that acts like a guard dog in this scene. I thought that was very cute.
To the extent that if you throw a treat for it, then it gets distracted and forgets what it's doing.
Yep.
Dogs are good. I like dogs.
But she was, I'm pretty sure she was adamant that she didn't want to be turned into a plant.
AMC, is that dog did Bushroot go find the dog that was going to pee him and turn that dog into a plant?
Maybe?
This is where... So Bushroot's, like, kind of got a sympathetic backstory at the start, because he's like, hey, I'm just trying to, like, figure out how to solve the world's hunger crisis by making it so that, mammals and... avians are birds mammals? No, they're a whole different class thing. Anyway, I'm trying to make it wait, but in this world, MC, in this
who
world
knows?
People are ducks, so is experimenting was he injecting wait was he gonna inject like a duck at the beginning, or was he talking about injecting anyway, he was trying to do good things and got bullied, but then like he just flips the switch so fast and is like, nah, I'm gonna forcibly turn you into a tree now. And he just turns so evil so fast.
Yeah, and of course, Darkwing saves the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go back to Darkwing reading his book, and Launchpad's asleep.
Okay, hang on, though. Darkwing saves the day by launching, like, a wood chipper at Bushroot. Again.
Yeah.
Okay, first we had the nerd jocks who had plants growing out of their skin to encase them in a horrible ivy-covered tomb, and now we get a plant-based villain having a wood chipper thrown at him. This is messed up.
Okay, but at the end, we see that is this little cabbage with a mouth somewhere in the world.
He's been reborn. Yep. But meanwhile, yes. Okay, so cut back to the framing device. And Darkwing is reading the story to Launchpad, who is, like, sitting on the floor, just going...
Yeah, that's about right.
And then he says, I guess... Darkwing wakes him up, and Launchpad says, I guess this just goes to show you, you may have to eat your vegetables, but you don't have to like them.
Yeah. He does say that. And that is
Beauty and the Beat. MC. It's time for the best and the worst, and we talk about the worst first. And I'm gonna go. No, wait. Am I gonna go? Yes. The nerd jocks. I didn't like them. I didn't think they were very interesting characters. They were too simple. And I know that this is a show for kids, and so you can use archetypal characters in order to tell the story very efficiently. But it did not make any sense to me why they were such jerks. And it didn't make sense to me because them being jerks seemed like it was there in order to make Bushroot a sympathetic character, but then the show didn't do anything with the fact that he was a sympathetic character. So I felt like that part of his origin story was strange.
I also felt that way about the Dean. And his prosecution of that, of him having his funding cut for no production, mm-hmm. essentially, is perfect. A perfectly reasonable argument, and we're supposed to feel sorry for him at the beginning here, and it casts this guy in a bad light, but then as soon as he starts getting attacked, you realize, oh no, he's not the bad guy.
Bushroot, you mean?
No, like the Dean.
Oh, the Dean.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
Because he seems like an asshole because he comes in and he's like, yeah. I'm cutting your funding, but then the messaging of who is sympathetic and who is not in this episode just doesn't seem to line up quite right. How about your best thing?
I'm going to have to go with, I don't think we even mentioned it. It's when they're fighting him for the first time and there's mm-hmm. That giant vine and they take the bike along the vine. And it's like a roller coaster ride, and they get all dizzy. That's really fun. I really enjoyed that scene.
Really solid action in this episode, considering they're fighting a bunch of plants. But it looks really good. Everything was animated really well and everything. But my best thing, MC, is a dumb one-line joke, because it's a pun, and you know how I love a pun. And this episode is full of puns. Darkwing Duck as a show is full of puns. But the specific one in this one is when Bushroot has the woman, Dr. Rhoda, strapped to the table. He's going to turn Dr. Rhoda, because the rhododendron MC. He's going to turn her into a plant. And she's like, I don't want to be a plant. And he says, don't worry, my darling. You'll grow to love it.
Okay,
Because plants grow.
Yeah.
And then I think he says, but first you'll grow leaves or something like that. But just when he said you'll grow to love it, I was like, I see you, Bushroot. I see what you did there. Let's check the mail.
Yeah, let's check the mail.
Is it time for mail?
Mail.
Let's check the mail.
Mail.
Do we have any mail?
Oh, we have mail. Oh boy, howdy, do we have mail. MC, I'm just going to use that as the start of the mail section, because that's, MC, we got mail. So we have a couple different kind of categories of mail today. The first I want to talk about is a user from Reddit named Lupine Lay. Lupine Lay? LupineLeigh. Lupine Lay. Who gave us a lot of mail. I'm not going to read everything they gave because it's a lot, but there's a couple things that I want to call out. So they mentioned that they were Goslin's age when the show first came out, and that the show really stuck in their memory. They said, "I'd seen previews and the Darkwing rap before the show began, and I saw its trailer play during another show, and I was hooked before I even saw a full episode. I remember how dark and exciting I thought that sinking feeling was, which was the first episode I ever saw, and how cool it was to see the kid characters act like kids, yet still have important roles like the adults. I was already a Launchpad fan thanks to memories of DuckTales, but Darkwing himself completely won me over with his spooky, smoky entrance and his obvious bond with his daughter. I was shocked when I saw Darkly dons the duck much later and found out Goslin wasn't even his kid." Which I think we talked about, that, like, because of the weird way that the episodes aired, that there would be people where that was the case, that they wouldn't know that that's how it worked, that she was adopted. And I'm from an adopted family, so I do take a little bit of umbrage with the line, "not even his daughter," or "not even his kid." But I know that Lupin didn't mean any offense in saying it that way. But this is kid, y'all. Adopted kids are the kids of the people who they are adopted by. They are part of that family. This is come on. MC, are you still watching? Do you still watch The Arrow and Flash and all that?
I haven't for a while, for a couple of years. I got up to like season 6 of Arrow and like 3 of Flash. Mm-hmm.
We are in season 7 of Arrow, I want to say, was last year's, and season 8 is the current season. We're a year behind, where Becky and I are trying to catch up. And
yeah.
And Arrow, I've been on a roller coaster of emotion with Arrow, because sometimes I really hate Arrow and sometimes I'm like, this is pretty good. And like this season has been, it's been okay. I've been liking it okay. Except for there's one thing Arrow does all the damn time that pisses me off, which is Arrow is like a foundational principle of that show is that blood is what makes family. So like a character will be like 35 years old and meet another character that's 33 years old that they've never met in their entire life before and been like, wait a second, you and I are half siblings because my parent was an adulterous then we are now best friends because you're my family and I will die to protect you. And I'm like, that's not your family though, man. Like, I get that your dad's semen made that child happen, but that's not what makes family. Come on. And it does it all the time in that show. Just constantly. Like, oh shit, I'm going to change my entire worldview because I found out that you and I are related, so therefore now you are my family and I am fully dedicated to your cause. No, that's not what family is. Hey, that's not about this. Lupin Lay has more to say, but there's one other thing they mentioned in here, MC, that I want to call out, which is they mentioned the Darkwing rap. Do you know the Darkwing rap?
No.
I didn't know that this was a thing, so I haven't looked it up, but we're going to listen to a little bit of it here. We won't play the whole song for the listeners, but you and I are going to listen to it so that we can discuss the Darkwing rap.
Okay. What was that? Darkwing Duck is on the attack. Got a warning for criminal cartoons. This is it, bang, boom, you're doomed. Darkwing Duck is chilling in town. He don't want criminals. It's very early 90s.
Oh my gosh. Take my advice. Play it safe. Alright. That's enough. I can't handle the whole song. It's so early 90s.
It is.
In the best way. 90s. I wish every TV show had a rap song associated with it still. One of those, like, to quote Brian David Gilbert, one of those, like, safe after-school rap songs about, like, not doing drugs where it's, like, everything just goes like this and there's very simple beat to the song. Like, it's just, you can do a song like that about anything.
That was pretty much what that was.
Mm-hmm.
And just them saying Darkwing Duck in different tones.
Yeah. Hey, but they did say that he's going to get dangerous in it.
Yeah,
they did. He said Darkwing Duck, he's going to get dangerous. Let's see. I want to call out some of the specific episodes that Lupine suggested people digging in on. Okay. He talks about Duck Blind, Darkly Dons the Duck, which we've watched, Tiff of the Titans, Life, the Negaverse, and Everything, And those are the main ones. So the one thing I want to call out there is Life, the Negaverse, and Everything. Because, of course, that is an episode about Negaduck, who I thought was the coolest damn character when I was a kid. You remember Negaduck?
No.
He's evil Darkwing Duck, buddy. That's all he is. I believe okay. He came from a science experiment that literally made a negative version of Darkwing Duck. But the reason he's so goddamn cool is because his costume is better than Darkwing Duck's costume. It's the same costume, but his coat is yellow, his cape and his mask are black, and his hat is red.
Okay, yes. I do know who you're talking about now, yes.
And it kicks so much ass. I love Negaduck. He is the coolest. Let's see. Over on Instagram, P Dairy. I don't know how to say people's usernames, MC. PDARIEN81. P-Darien? Said, I love this show. I still remember most of the nursery rhyme that Goslin knew to save the day, which is the one we joked about. The red, yellow, blue, green, blue, red, blue, green, blue, red.
Purple.
Teal. Magenta.
Orange.
Mm-hmm. More from Lupine. They talked about how I asked them about their thoughts because they said they were a fan of DuckTales. And I was like, what do you think about the portrayal of Launchpad? And they said that they were a little confused that he was so oblivious at first on Darkwing because he seemed like he was like more aware of people insulting him on DuckTales than he was on Darkwing. But that they basically grew to like him. Back on.
I could see how that's the point because, yeah, he definitely knew when people were insulting him on DuckTales.
Mm-hmm. As far as his piloting skills go, he says he's a better pilot on DuckTales, and he likes that. And he says, I was so impressed with the Thunderquack that I headcanoned that he did something like in the movie Independence Day, and he flipped the reverse and forward throttle to make it easier for him to remember which direction was which I absolutely love that as an explanation, because he always accidentally goes in reverse, so he just switched it. That's so good. I also had canon that he had gyro gear loose help him with the mechanical design, like the hydraulic pump they probably used to open the Thunderquack's bill and make it work as a loading ramp, a pulley, or a weapon system with like the harpoon, or have it clamp on things with its teeth. I like that. Gyro gear loose, I believe, becomes a character in DuckTales, or in Darkwing Duck, as well as being in DuckTales, right? Because doesn't gyro gear loose end up becoming the Robo Duck? Oh, I might have to watch more of this show. Another thought from Instagram is from Regurgitating Gertie. I know how to say that one. Who says, my absolute favorite as a kid in the 90s, which I am up there with you. This Batman and Gargoyles were like my favorite shows for a while. And then one last thing is from Reddit again. I put up a question on the Ask Science Fiction board about plants, asking about bushroot and about poison ivy. I used both as examples, which is my question was like, all right, so these people can manipulate plants. Can they just talk to plants that are like sentient and capable of walking around and shit? Or are they making the plants able to walk around? And I actually got a reply from a user by the name of Urban Myth with an E, URBENMYTH. Who says, in DC, they are already semi-sentient. I think we can use this for Darkwing as well, because, I mean, Bushroot is just poison ivy, but a dude and yeah. A duck. He says, in DC, they are already semi-sentient, in the sense that they are all part of the green, a psychic hive mind that makes up all plant life. It's pushing that allows plant users to manipulate them. And I clarified, that's based on a Swamp Thing comic, right? I don't know much about that character, but that sounds familiar. Could the green rise up on its own, or is it not quite that sentient? And he says, or they say, excuse me, that is indeed the force that empowers Swamp Thing. And kind of. The green as a whole isn't quite sentient enough to do so, but it has sentient aspects, like the Parliament of Trees, who would be able to. The main issue is that all the other kingdoms of life have analogous forces, and a direct war between them would be pretty devastating for plant life. So they tend to act through avatars like Swamp Thing and imbued humans like Poison Ivy. But in principle, in a dire enough situation, it slash they could directly, or could act directly, and at least two post-apocalyptic AUs, Rotworld and Deceased, it does. Which now I need to go read Rotworld and Deceased, where plants take over the world and destroy it, because that sounds interesting. And that's it.
People are just giving us suggestions on what to watch and read at the moment.
I know.
It just seems like, which is great.
Lupine listed a whole bunch more shows that they are, or episodes that they like of both Darkwing as well as original DuckTales and the 2017 DuckTales. So if you are looking for some suggestions, go look me up on Reddit as Treadle Power and find that thread, and Lupine's got a whole bunch of stuff for you there. But with that, MC, I think it's time to go check the big list. So MC, the list as it stands is, can I put numbers on this? Wait. Oh, it does have numbers. I was looking at the wrong list. The list as it stands is number one, best animated show ever so far, is Batman the Animated Series, followed by My Hero Academia, Dragon Ball Z Kai, Dragon Ball. Number five is Gargoyles, X-Men, Attack on Titan. DuckTales is at number eight. Number nine is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And number 10 is Men in Black the Series. And then there's a whole bunch more shows. And then at the very bottom of the list is The Legend of Zelda.
Correct.
Happy? Is that what you wanted,
24.
MC?
Yeah.
Right above The Legend of Zelda is Biker Mice from Mars, and above that is SpongeBob SquarePants, and then Dungeons and Dragons, Miraculous, Rocket Power, Silver Surfer, Star Trek, the Animated Series, Mob Psycho 100, Food Wars, Restaurant to Another World, Pokemon Indigo League, Castlevania, and Dragon Ball Z.
It's getting so long.
So I think the first thing we have to talk about is DuckTales, right?
Yeah.
We watched three episodes of DuckTales. We watched three episodes of Darkwing Duck. DuckTales is at number eight on the list. I think I can comfortably say that the show is better than DuckTales. I like this more than DuckTales.
Yeah, I think it's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's for argument's sake, do another comparison. Batman the Animated Series. Obviously, there's a lot linking the two of them. Is this better than Batman the Animated Series?
No, I don't think it is. Not compared to the three episodes of the Batman. Like, the ones that we saw were solid. Like,
yeah. So let me give you another point of comparison. Gargoyles as kind of the dark Disney afternoon show. This is kind of the light dark Disney afternoon show. Where does Darkwing Duck compare to Gargoyles for you?
No, for nostalgia's sake, because I love Gargoyles as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's definitely below that.
You think Darkwing's coming in below Gargoyles?
Yeah.
It's tough for me because Darkwing, Batman, and Gargoyles were like three of my favorite shows when I was a kid. These were very formative shows for me.
Yeah.
I think below makes sense, but it's close. So between DuckTales and Gargoyles, we've got so it goes Gargoyles, X-Men, Attack on Titan, DuckTales. I'm gonna say I have to put this above Attack on Titan. I like this more than Attack on Titan. X-Men is where I start to question.
Yeah. That's really hard. Is it better than X-Men?
I think I like this better than X-Men. Those first three episodes of X-Men weren't that great.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, they weren't.
It was good, but like, if I'm gonna go watch a superhero show right now, between X-Men and I mean, I'm gonna watch Batman. If I'm gonna go watch a superhero show, I'm gonna go watch Batman. But between X-Men and Darkwing Duck, I would totally watch more Darkwing. In fact, I have watched more Darkwing Duck. I haven't watched any more X-Men.
Can I put it above X-Men? Yeah, I reckon above X-Men.
Comes in right below Gargoyles, then. That's good company, I feel like, too.
Yeah.
All right, so Darkwing Duck takes our number six slot on the list, which means there's only one thing left to do today, MC. We have to pick our next show. We didn't say a category for this one. Do you have a category in mind?
Someone suggested one, but I'm not doing that.
I don't want that category yet. So the suggestion was like animes that will make Troy uncomfortable. And listen, we can do that at some point, but I don't want to do it yet.
I'm thinking maybe Supernatural or like Devil or like.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. Do you have one in mind?
I have a couple in mind.
All right. Well, give me your first one.
Blue Exorcist.
Blue Exorcist. This must be an anime.
Yeah.
Okay, we're calling this category supernatural.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put on the Ghostbusters, but I need to figure out what the proper Ghostbusters cartoon is actually called. Is it the real Ghostbusters? We'll just put in Ghostbusters cartoon.
There was a guy named Troy Dunham. Needed some answers, how would he find them? Just Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff all day long. Google that person, Google that place, Google it all, cause there is no place to remember any reason, remember any why. All we do know is that we're gonna die, yeah, I'm gonna die, yeah, you're gonna die, yeah, Troy, you're gonna die.
Yeah. The real Ghostbusters is a spinoff of the 1984 animated movie. Yes. All right. So we've got Blue Exorcist and the real Ghostbusters. What's your second pick?
Oh, supernatural. How about Gate?
Gate? G-A-T-E?
Yeah. Yeah. It's another anime.
Okay. All right. Here's where I want to go. Swamp Thing.
Yes.
That counts as supernatural, right?
Yeah. That would have to.
I mean, I think he falls into the supernatural category. Well, I could see the Winchester brothers fighting against Swamp Thing.
I mean, he's one of the, universal monsters, wasn't he?
Well, the Swamp Thing is the DC character Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Very, very much in line with those. So yeah, so we've got for our list... for the supernatural category, Blue Exorcist, the real Ghostbusters, Gate, or Swamp Thing. MC's got his trusty four-sided die. He's given it a roll. It is a 3. We are watching Gate. I have no idea what Gate is. Gate series. List of Gate episodes. The anime television series Gate. I'm not even going to look at it. I don't want to know anything about it, MC, until I sit down to watch it. I'm just going to tell you that we will be back next week to talk about Season 1, Episode 1 of Gate, which is called The Self-Defense Force Goes to Another World. That's a cool title. I'm intrigued by that title. MC, is this show going to make me uncomfortable?
No.
You have a mischievous grin.
Yes, because of... Can I just give you a short rundown of what... the start of this show is.
All right, what is it? Tell me about Gate.
A gate to another world opens up in modern day Japan.
Okay. That's it?
Yeah, I'm intrigued. That's all. Yeah.
All right. I mean, because that kind of happened with Restaurant to Another World, but I guess that wasn't a gate. But anyway, all right, we'll be back next week with Gate. We're going to be talking about the first 3 episodes, The Self-Defense Force Goes to Another World, 2 military forces, and episode 3 is called Fire Dragon.
Yep.
So, until then, hey, MC.
Don't change the channel.
Yeah, there you go. You sound so, you're so unconfident about it every time.
Yeah, no, it's don't change the channel.
There you go. There you go. Confidence, I like it. We'll see you next time, folks.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work
for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.